Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington. We have a society awash in guns. Guns are everywhere. Firearms are everywhere. And the people who advocate for guns, the ones who advocate for reducing regulations designed to protect Americans from guns, those who want less protection from guns, think we have too few guns. Now remember, in the United Kingdom, they have maybe 5 gun murders a year. Maybe. Some years less, some years more. Never seems to crack double digits. Our gun murders a year crack 5 digits. It's always more than 10,000. That's just the murders. When you include the suicides and the accidents, we're talking more than 30,000 gun deaths a year. And conservatives argue that the reason we have so many people dying in mass shootings, whether it be Charleston or Tucson or a crowded theater in Colorado, is because we don't have enough guns. We need more guns. The reason the 5-year-olds were murdered in Sandy Hook is because not enough kindergartners had a gun. They don't quite say that, but it is what they mean. They want as many guns, as many places as possible. They want guns in our schools, in our libraries, and in our parks. They want guns in our homes. They want guns everywhere. Because, they say, a good guy with a gun will stop the bad guy with a gun. Here's the problem. For one thing, it's never happened. There's not a single mass killing in America to this date, and it may happen one day. It won't change the other thousands of cases. But there's not a single mass killing to date that was stopped by a civilian with a gun. Oh, there have been some stopped by police officers, thank God, or armed security officers whose job it is to carry a gun and be on the lookout for things, trained security officers, which liberals generally don't have a problem with those folks owning guns. We have our other problems with police violence and racism, but that's sort of a separate issue. Now, you want to know how you stop a bad guy with a gun? Well, for one thing, you keep the bad guy from getting a gun. And if they do have a gun, well, a few Americans on a train in France showed that sometimes if you're brave, you can just tackle them. But the best way is not to let them get a gun in the first place. One of the things that liberals believe, that we believe, that frankly most Americans believe, 90% of Americans believe that someone who has committed felony crimes of violence shouldn't have access to a gun. 90% of Americans believe that people who've been declared by a court to be dangerously, criminally, mentally ill, violently mentally ill, shouldn't be able to own a gun. More than 90% of Americans believe that terrorists shouldn't be able to own a gun. Or people who've committed crimes of domestic violence. Many of you know I'm going to be a delegate in Virginia soon. One delegate in Virginia made the comment on the, I believe it was on the floor of the General Assembly, and said, people think, these liberals, these Northern Virginia liberals think that just because you slap your wife around a bit, you shouldn't be able to own a gun. I mean, what man hasn't slapped his wife around a bit? Well, I really hope that all of the men listening to my show have not done that, nor the women slapping their husbands. But yes, 90% of Americans don't believe that people who have committed crimes of domestic violence should be able to have easy access to a gun. Now, The Republican Party disagrees. When you vote for Republicans, you are voting to make it easier for mentally ill terrorists who've committed murder or rape or other crimes of domestic violence. You want them to make it easier to own a gun. And sometimes the people who love their guns say, well, wait, Mark, it's not legal for a felon to own a gun. And the answer is, no, but it is legal to sell them one. Think about it. Think about saying, it's not legal for a four-year-old to have cigarettes or alcohol. Let's leave alcohol out of it for the moment. Let's stick with cigarettes. But it's legal to sell them that. Well, no, it's not. The reason we make it illegal to sell tobacco or even alcohol to minors is we don't want minors to use it. Now, again, alcohol. I don't want to get into a subject about that. Yes, I drank wine as a kid. I'm not going there. But the point is that if you don't want someone to have something, you make it illegal to sell it. And right now, if you're a terrorist and you want to own a gun, let's say you want a semi-automatic gun. Let's say you hate black people. Let's say you want to shoot up a black church. And let's say you've got a long list of felony records and you're on the terrorist watch list and you're a felon. Okay, you've committed beatings and rape and maybe even murder in the past. And you slap your wife, and you beat your wife, and you rape your children, and you're on the sex offender list. All of that. You want a gun? It's really easy, folks, in America. Just go on the internet. Get yourself a gun. No questions asked. Get yourself a bunch of ammunition. While you're there, get you a 100-bullet drum. Get an AR-15 semi-automatic. Then you can walk into a crowded theater and murder everyone in sight. The Republicans insist they have an answer to this. Simply allow more guns. We shouldn't have gun-free zones, they say, even though the vast majority of gun murders don't occur in gun-free zones. More than 80% occur outside of gun-free zones. They want more people to have guns. They say guns don't kill people, people kill people. To which I say tanks don't kill people, people kill people. And the reason why tanks are killing so many people is because we don't have enough strong enough. Wait a minute. We don't have weak enough anti-tank laws. Wait, you say tanks aren't killing people right and left in America. Wait, you're saying that those anti-tank laws that don't allow everyone to have a tank are actually working? No, the gun nuts say you're wrong. We need more tanks. More tanks. More tanks. Everyone should be able to own a tank to stop your neighbor, your bad guy neighbor, from shooting a tank. And liberals say, no, we just simply ban people outside the military from getting access to tanks. And the Republicans say, no, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. The great answer to more tank violence is more tanks. The great answer to gun violence is more guns. But you know what? Even they don't believe their own stupid rhetoric. The guest I have coming up next, our reporter for Think Progress, Scott Keyes, is at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. And actually, that's pretty cool because I'm at Center for American Progress as well. And Scott Keyes will show you when we come back that in location after location, whether it be gun shows or political events or even NRA events, all those gun nuts that claim they want more guns, they actually are banning guns. So they don't even believe their own ridiculous rhetoric. Looking forward to having my guests coming back. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Our culture is awash in guns, and we are awash in gun violence. As I said before the break, we are not awash in tanks. And believe it or not, there has not been a single example of tank violence on American soil this year. Maybe the fact that we don't allow everyone to have access to tanks may be the reason why tanks aren't going around killing people. That's not what the gun folks say, though. They say our answer is not less guns, but more guns, and more guns in more places. That gun-free zones are the reason why people are dying, because criminals don't respect gun-free zones, and we need more guns in those gun-free zones if we had just armed every kindergartner in Sandy Hook with an AK-47, they could have stopped the killer. It's a ridiculous argument, and what's interesting is that they themselves don't even believe it. You might think, okay, they're just deluded, but they really believe it? But guess what? They don't. My guest, Scott Keyes, a senior reporter for ThinkProgress.org at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, he has written a piece showing in detail that they actually don't believe their own rhetoric. Scott, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark.
So I read your piece, and it is quite detailed, and I just want to go piece by piece through it. One of the things I guess I found most surprising was right at the top of your list, you can't bring a loaded gun to a gun show? Really?
Yeah. Isn't that surprising? You know, I have done a fair amount of reporting both about gun shows and within gun shows, and I think that was one of the things that most surprised me about them is how vigilant and adamant they are that nobody is allowed to bring in a loaded gun into a gun show. You're required.
But everyone there is experts. If there's any place where the rhetoric about gun-free zones is wrong, it's there. They all know what they're doing. If a bad guy starts shooting it up and they're all wearing loaded weapons, wouldn't 100 people shoot the bad guy at once? I mean, they're of all places. I'm okay with loaded guns at gun shows there.
If you took the sort of conservative mantra, the conservative logic underlying gun-free zones at its word, that, you know, gun-free zones are an invitation for killers, and so you need more people with more guns in order to protect yourself, then absolutely you would imagine that a gun show would be the first place where you would have loaded guns everywhere, except when you look at, you know, I was looking at the website of the Crossroads Gun Show, which is a big gun show out west, and they say right there on the website, explaining why people are not allowed to bring loaded weapons into the event, saying, quote, "Safety is our number one priority, and a safe environment in the show can only be maintained if there are no loaded guns in the show." You're literally required, if you bring a loaded gun, to drop it off and unload, you know, all the bullets and everything, and have it zip tied to make sure that nothing can, it can not be possibly used at all.
I wonder if what they fear is that someone will pick up an unloaded gun or a loaded gun, think it's unloaded, and, you know, cock the trigger and shoot someone. But, you know, at the end of the day, we really shouldn't want anyone cocking the trigger of a gun without checking to see if it's loaded first anyway. So, it seems to me that the bad guys could go and rob a gun zone, and no one would have any loaded weapons. I guess the answer is they would load them quick. I don't know.
Maybe, but, you know, I mean, most of the sad truth is that when there are these horrific events that happen, they usually happen very quickly, and they're extremely chaotic. And, frankly, half the time, nobody even knows who the shooter is. You know, you have these really almost horrific situations where, even when you do have someone, an innocent bystander with a gun, the sort of proverbial good guy with a gun, they oftentimes end up coming close to almost shooting the wrong person.
Right. We know that happened in Tucson. We know that just seconds after some very brave heroes wrestled the gun out of the hands of the killer, and I make it a practice never to give the killer's name on my show, but after some very good guys wrestled the gun away from the shooter, another guy, a guy by the name of Joe Zamidio, came around the corner, heard the shots, heard the screaming, heard the yelling, saw a guy with a gun, and almost shot him. Turned out the guy with the gun was a good guy who had disarmed the bad guy, because we have this real problem, and I don't know the solution, the NRA solution. Good guys and bad guys don't wear labels on their shirts. They really should. If they would just wear bad guy, you know, with like a big red target, and then good guy, don't harm me, with maybe like a, you know, I imagine sort of a slash through a circle or something, then everyone would know who to shoot, because in all those video games, they make it very clear who the good guys are and the bad guys are. You know, if you accidentally shoot the good guy, you lose points. If you shoot the bad guy, you get points. But they're clearly labeled, and I just don't know why the bad guys don't wear those labels. It would make things a lot easier for all of us.
You know, and even then, you go down and you watch, you know, you go down to your local bar, you watch people play Big Buck Hunter or something, and half the time they can't even shoot the right target in that situation, the most low-stress environment possible. Put them in an actual real-life shooting situation, and it's no wonder that they did a study recently at Mount St. Mary's University where they had just civilians go in and put them in simulators to where there was, you know, armed robbery or otherwise assault, and they, you know, the video is staggering just how incompetent and inept most people are with guns. And the reason why is because most of us are not professionals.
We're not trained to handle them
the proper way, and especially in extremely high stress situations.
I think there's a reason why on the French train, the two people who best succeeded, those true American heroes, were trained military people. One was just back on tour from Afghanistan. These are people, one of them recognized that the killer's Kalashnikov was misfiring. You know, I don't know that I could tell. I hope I could, but I don't have that training. And which is why I never mind trained military police officers, trained security guards even, from owning a gun. But it's the idea that grandma, age 73 years old, who teaches, you know, third grade at Newtown Middle School, that if only she'd had a little gun in her purse, she could have stopped this determined killer from shooting all her kids. That's where it really reaches the realm of fantasy.
Right, and there's a reason why, you know, that people having a gun in your house means you're far more likely to accidentally shoot a member of your own family than you are to shoot, you know, a bad guy or an intruder or anything like that.
Yeah, the studies I've read, the lowest study says that you're 12 times more likely to shoot yourself or a member of your family than an intruder. The highest study was 43 times. That study showed 43 times more likely if there's a gun in your home, it will be used against you or a member of your family than an intruder. Lots of studies had it in the 20s and 30s, but there's been many, many studies. The lowest study was 12, the highest was 43, the median was about 28 times. In other words, if you buy a gun, it's 28 more times more likely to kill you or a member of your family, or, you know, your child committing suicide, or even an intruder grabbing your gun and killing you, than actually to be used against an intruder. So,
and that's not to mention that just the rash of gun accidents that happen, you know, every single day. Like, little kids all the time accidentally get their hands on a gun and decide it looks like a toy.
One more study I'll throw out.
Tragedy.
One more study, because I've been reading all these. Studies show, and they've done this with, thankfully, unloaded weapons, they have brought 8 to 12-year-olds, boys and girls, into a room with an unloaded gun, 8 to 12 years old. One-third, they have hidden cameras, one-third of these kids without an adult around pulled the trigger. One-third. Two-thirds didn't. One-third did. My guess is more boys than girls, but that's still like, you know, half of boys and 10% of girls. It's really scary. One more statistic before we go to break. In American homes, half of guns are kept unlocked, and one-sixth, remember this statistic, one-sixth of all guns in homes in America are kept unlocked and loaded. Unlocked and loaded. And then we wonder why 4 people are dead every day in America at the hands of guns. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're talking about the hypocrisy of those that complain about gun-free zones actually supporting gun-free zones when they're not complaining about it. I'm not talking about your average, individual on the street. I'm talking about the NRA. The National Rifle Association has said that gun-free zones encourage criminals and psychopaths. And they even held their annual meetings in arenas that ban weapons. Now, the NRA is the foremost opponent of gun-free zones. So the ones saying we need more guns in places like kindergartens to prevent things like Sandy Hook, why the heck are they holding their events in gun-free zones? Scott Keyes is my guest. He is the author of a wonderful piece in Think Progress. You really should take a look at it, thinkprogress.org. Scott Keyes is spelled K-E-Y-E-S. He's at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. And he's been talking about doing research on conservative hypocrisy, on them supporting gun-free zones from the very organizations that politically oppose them. So, Scott, tell us about the NRA, because I find that to be one of the most intriguing examples.
Yeah, isn't it? You know, I mean, if you, again, take conservative logic at face value, that they truly believe that gun-free zones put lives in danger, it's remarkable that the group was willing to put thousands of lives of its own members at risk by holding these events at their, you know, annual convention in arenas that were gun-free zones. I mean, you have arenas full of people that are quote-unquote sitting ducks, according to the NRA, and yet somehow nobody ended up dying at them.
Has anyone complained about it? I mean, you would think that someone believes the NRA rhetoric. I mean, they can't all be people who are fooled. Somebody has to believe this rhetoric and say, well, I want to bring my loaded gun to my NRA event. After all, I love guns. That's why I'm at the NRA's convention and trade show.
I saw a great quote. There's an NRA member from Chicago who attended the annual meeting down in Nashville, which is held at the Bridgestone Arena, which bans loaded weapons. And he makes a policy of never patronizing establishments that forbid guns.
So he should go to the NRA.
Yeah, exactly. And so they had a great quote. You know, he says, I paid for the tickets and they're non-refundable, so I will probably go.
Well, the NRA should protest the NRA. They should hold a protest. NRA, we need to bring our guns inside the NRA. Now, what does the NRA say about the fact that they're holding their annual meeting? I mean, there are arenas that don't – maybe – I don't know. Maybe the answer is there are no arenas that don't ban guns. Could they go to maybe every city?
I'm sure if this were actually a priority for them, then they could find plenty of places where
– they could relax the policy. They could just say, exactly. You know what? Turn off the metal detectors. We're paying you for this.
I think, you know, when it's their lives who are on the line, when it's Wayne LaPierre and Chris Cox and those who have to think about, do I trust every single person of the thousands of people in here with a loaded gun, you know, within feet of me, when all of a sudden their lives are the ones on the line, they might think a little bit differently about, you know, the wisdom of gun-free zones.
One of the things I found really interesting about your article, Scott, and I really commend your research here, is that none of this that we're discussing here on The Inside Scoop, and that's why we call the show The Inside Scoop, I've never seen this before. I've never seen this, forget Fox News, I've never seen this on CNN or in the Washington Post or the New York Times. I haven't seen this on MSNBC, right? Are they talking about this? You're a contributor to MSNBC. How do we get people even knowing these facts?
I think it's a surprising thing. Because I think it's one of those things that people are easy, you know, it's intuitive. Of course you're going to ban guns at, you know, at a major event, at, you know, presidential debate, at political rallies and stuff like this, because, you know, people's safety, you need to protect people's safety. Of course you're going to do it. And therein gets at the heart of why the argument against gun-free zones is so absurd, because all of a sudden, you know, it puts that logic on its head, where I think every single Republican running for president, if you ask them, you know, do you want to hold a rally in a place where everybody's allowed to bring in guns, every single one of them is going to say no, and yet they're all out there talking, you know, lambasting the idea of gun-free zones. It's intuitive that, of course, we need to not let them into these events, and yet, you know, I think it strikes at the heart of why the position against gun-free zones is so illogical.
Has anyone asked the NRA, Wayne LaPierre, why he holds his event in a gun-free zone? I mean, that seems to be the obvious question that some reporter needs to ask him.
That'd be a great question. I would love to see his response to that.
Yeah, let me know next time Wayne LaPierre is having an event. I guess it's safe. It's in a gun-free zone. I or you, someone needs to ask him that question. As you point out, though, it's not just the NRA and the gun shows. I mean, those are certainly gun-related. But political conferences right and left. I'll tell you something. The Virginia General Assembly, and you could argue that maybe they are putting they're being true to their rhetoric. They're putting their rhetoric where it is, where I'm going to be working starting in January. They actually, it is not a gun-free zone. When you walk in, there are police there. There is a metal detector. If you have a gun and they find it, they're required by the rules of General Assembly to give it back to you. And you can go up to the visitor's balcony, and there's no glass between the visitor's balcony and the assembly down below. There's none in Congress either, but this is the building designed by Thomas Jefferson. And I asked my fellow delegates I said, you know, someone could come up in the visitor's gallery with a gun. And they said, yeah, they said the cops would know about it because they have the metal detector and they might sort of watch you very carefully. I said, well, I'm going to ask them if it ever happens to immediately text me so I can go to the back of the chamber where you can't shoot from the visitor's gallery. But it just shows you this is a group that actually, as awful as they are, they're not being hypocritical. But
bring up a sad memory, but this type of event actually occurred.
It did?
You know, and multiple times, not in the past in the United States Congress. You know, up until about the early 1980s, there were basically no metal detectors. You know, it was just anybody could come and go as they please, and anybody could bring guns on the premises. And so multiple times, you know, in the 50s, 70s, et cetera, there were shootings, bombings. You know, there was one instance in the 50s, I think, where three or four gunmen who were Puerto Rican nationalists came into the gallery of the United States House of Representatives.
Really?
And started, you know, and opened fire.
Wow.
And shot, I think, three or four congressmen, one, you know, in the chest who was on the verge of death.
You know, I need to remind the Virginia General.
This happened.
I need to remind the Virginia General Assembly of this. And while I certainly wish no violence to anyone, I will say this: if you are going to bring a gun into the visitors' gallery and commit murder, and I don't want anyone to do this, but if you're going to do it, please shoot the people that think it should be legal for you to bring a loaded gun into the gallery first. I just think it'd be fair. Since they seem to want you there, I don't want you there. I don't believe you should bring a loaded gun.
There's a reason why Congress changed the rules to forbid people from bringing guns in, because they decided when their safety all
sure.
is at
sure.
stake, they decide they're more comfortable with fewer guns rather than
well,
more.
Well, I actually know one. There is one delegate on the Virginia floor that carries his own loaded gun at his desk. So maybe we'll have a nice little shootout at the OK Corral, the Virginia General Assembly. It might happen. And, you know, I actually don't really have a problem with a delegate owning a gun, a loaded gun. I don't like it, but any more than, I guess, a police officer, though I guess, you know, a police officer may have had more training. I do know that in the 1800s, the 19th century, there was a caning on the Senate floor between a pro-slavery advocate and an anti-slavery advocate. The guy, I believe, from South Carolina beat up, I think it was Thaddeus Stevens, and left him, you know, almost in blood on the floor. So, you know, one of the nice things about canes is that Thaddeus Stevens went on to live. Very few people who, you know, are attacked by guns.
It's a sad fact that guns tend to escalate situations, not de-escalate them. And there's a reason why that, you know, anywhere you look and study after study after study, they show that more guns leads to more gun violence. It's an obvious link, and yet this is, evidence that conservatives just wholly deny and think that more guns actually lead to less gun violence.
Now, across the country, we see that in Republicans, conservatives, people who want to increase the number of guns in society, want to make sure everyone has a gun. Increasingly, they're advocating for laws that would allow that. And some of the laws they're advocating for, there's one that they would basically allow every single person in America to get a to carry their guns concealed. And they call it constitutional carry. Of course, it's got no basis in the Constitution. But what it basically means is if one state, let's say Wyoming or Alaska or Mississippi or another some state that's really, really lax on guns, says that you can have a concealed weapons permit. Virginia, for example, my home state. To get a concealed weapons permit in Virginia, you have to, ready for this? It's really tough. You've got to answer some questions on the internet. That's right. You've got to sit down for an entire 30 minutes. Well, maybe if you're quick, 15 minutes at your computer and answer some questions. Don't worry, though. If you get it wrong, you can study up, read the answers, and then take it again. But if you're a terrorist and you want to, you know, commit a bunch of murder and don't worry, what these constitutional carry people say is that anyone should be able to pass Virginia's internet test, which, frankly, it's very easy to do. And then you should be able to carry a gun anywhere. So even if Massachusetts or Delaware or, I don't know, Rhode Island, New York has strong gun laws, you can just override them. They want a federal law that says race to the bottom. Every single dangerous felon, mentally ill, violent terrorist can get a gun and carry it concealed. And they're actually advocating this, that this is the next step, this constitutional carry. And I think three or four states have actually said this, that they will accept any concealed gun permits from anywhere in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of a remarkable throwaway from the idea of state rights that they should be able to determine their own, you know, their own gun laws instead of saying that what's right in Wyoming is right in New York City.
Yeah, the difference is in Wyoming, when they hunt, they're generally hunting for moose. When they're hunting in D.C., they're usually hunting for people. We just don't have that much wildlife to kill in the District of Columbia. I got to take a break.
Walking around.
Yeah, I got to take a break. But when I come back, Scott, I want to talk about politicians because they may be the biggest hypocrites of them all, the ones that advocate so strongly for having everyone having more guns and yet for some reason don't allow loaded guns at their own rallies. Is this being asked of them? Are we asking these questions? We're going to ask these questions. Scott and I will be right back after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about guns and, well, how easy it is for people to get them and why it is that conservatives seem to oppose them seem to oppose them in events with them, even though they support making it easier for people to carry loaded guns elsewhere. So my guest is Scott Keyes. He's the author of a really terrific piece in Think Progress. Scott, I want to ask you about politicians, because it seems to me that the ones that are most advocating to allow us to carry guns everywhere don't allow loaded guns at their own events.
That's right. You know, I went back and took a look, and it turns out that some of the most prominent defenders of gun rights, from Scott Walker to Paul Ryan to former Congressman Alan West to former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, all of them put signs up outside their events saying that you are not allowed to bring in loaded weapons because they clearly either don't actually believe in their rhetoric about gun-free zones, or they would rather that they not take a risk with their own lives and have guns be, you know, all about in the audience.
Has there been any pushback from the people they purport to represent, who believe that everyone should carry loaded guns everywhere, saying, hey, you're a hypocrite?
You know, the funny thing is, you haven't seen that type of pushback. And I think the reason why is because a lot of people recognize this is actually just something that they're trying to score political points off of. It's a way that conservatives can try to respond when there's another gun massacre, more gun violence. They can point to gun-free zones rather than actually trying to take, you know, steps to reduce gun violence. And yet, you know, they clearly, this isn't something that they truly believe. Otherwise, you wouldn't see these gun-free zone markings outside their own events.
I wonder if liberals were to picket NRA events and say that we want our area to be a gun-free zone, but the NRA event shouldn't be. That, you know, Newt Gingrich or Ted Cruz or any of the others running for president. That, for example, the Fox debate. They had the Republican Fox debate full of people cheering all the Republican nominees, and they checked everyone really carefully there. But it seems to me that a great question to ask is, why should this Republican presidential debate be a gun-free zone?
Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable, because conservatives claim to truly believe that you are in great danger by being in a gun-free zone, and yet they're putting all of their lives on the line. You know, they're putting themselves at immense personal risk, apparently, if they're debating in a gun-free zone. Or maybe that they don't actually believe the types of things that they say about gun-free zones.
Maybe the answer is that people do feel safer if there's security checking for guns at the door. They don't like gun-free zones without security checking for guns at the door. But
yeah,
my guess is even those NRA events, did they have someone checking for guns at the door? I'm not so sure they did.
You know, I don't know personally. I believe in the ones in the arena, yes, there are security checking. But even then, conservatives will still claim that gun-free zones are an affront to their rights, because it's making, you know, in their estimation, it's forcing people to break the law in order to carry their guns with them.
You know, it is an amazing bit of hypocrisy, and it's one that I really wish people would ask politicians more, and that I'm really glad that you exposed that. Scott, how did you come upon this idea? Was this just sort of an idea of yours? You saw the hypocrisy and decided to research it? Or is this, because
yeah,
I haven't seen an article like this before.
You know, I'd been to a number of NRA events, gun shows, town hall events, political gatherings, et cetera, and realized that, you know, even though Republicans talk a big game about getting rid of gun-free zones, almost every single one that I went to had these stickers outside saying, you know, no guns. They would have security posted up to check you and make sure that you weren't bringing in weapons. And I just sort of realized that I don't think that they're actually being exposed enough for the hypocrites they are on this.
Yeah, they don't believe their own rhetoric.
Right, that they want to get rid of gun-free zones for everybody else, just not at their own event.
They just don't believe their own rhetoric. Scott Keyes, thank you very much for spending your time with us right here on The Inside Scoop.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So, folks, if you want to see a debate where they bring up gun-free zones again and again and again, I'm going to invite you to my website. Go to marklevinetalk.com and search on my website for Western Conservative Summit, or just search gun Just do a search for Gund. It'll show up, and you will see a debate between myself and Katie Pavlich of Fox News at Western Conservative Summit, where she actually argues that gun-free zones are a danger. She actually makes the point that people need to bring guns in public places for our own protection. That debate was held in a gun-free zone. Yes, the Western Conservative Summit held their summit in a gun-free zone, and you know what? They didn't check at the door.